Ephesians chapter 6, and we're turning to verse 11 here today. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm sure you're very familiar with the picture of David going to Saul and telling him, I will go out and fight that Goliath. And while the other members of the army were trembling at such a thought, here is the young lad David, and God has filled him full of faith, and he's going to go out against the giant. And Saul has another idea. He says to him, well, if you're going to go, you better put on the armor. And so David, this stripling of a lad, he puts on the armor that is made for a grown man, this King Saul, who is head and shoulders over the people, and lo and behold, it only becomes a burden to him. And he says to King Saul, there's no way that I can wear this and do anything out on the battlefield. I won't even try to use this armor. Now, in another context, this highlights a spiritual problem for us. And that is, every one of us has something of a reluctance, and indeed we are unfit to put on the whole armor of God. We have a great many professing Christians who can say, yes, I'm saved, I have a knowledge of the gospel, I am seeking to live for God, but they're not using the armor that God has provided. And therefore, they go out into the daily world unprotected and in great danger. Now, what would the military do with such men? Well, there would be two things. First of all, diet. Then there would be training. And then there would be the armor. Well, that's three things. So we better get the count right. So diet. You better get onto a healthy diet. If you're going to eat at McDonald's and Big Macs every day, you'll never make a good soldier. So we're going to put you on a diet that will truly make you strong. Then you have to train. And then thirdly, put on the armor. And so these are the exercises that are given to a soldier. And there are exercises that are given to the Christian, that you might be enabled by God's grace to put on the whole armor of God. Well, you need Christian fellowship. That's a part of the armor. That's a part of growing strong in the Lord. You need prayer, both private and public, and you need to be a witness. That will exercise your muscles. That will exercise your spiritual faculties as you engage in spiritual things. And by those means, you become active in the things of God. You see, this is not a passive life. You cannot sit in the armchair and be a strong Christian. And Christians don't fight the battle by sitting back. Now, sanctification is unlike salvation. It's ongoing. Salvation, won at the cross, bestowed upon you, your name is written in the Lamb's book, you have a title to heaven, you're saved today, you're saved tomorrow, you're saved for eternity. But sanctification is a progressive work, and it is going on in the push and shove of everyday life. And of course, as you deal with temptations and you overcome, you get stronger and stronger. And God uses these things in your life. But then you need the armor. You need this whole armor of God. It's not enough to say, well, I'm strong in the Lord. It's not enough to say that you are exercising various things. You have to put on this armor that you will be protected. And you'll note this in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. Paul deals here with the whole armor in general. Now there are seven pieces to it in this chapter. And as you go down each and every item, each and every one has its particular task and gives certain protection and befits us for the task. But here's the first command: put on the whole armor of God. And so what we will do today is to look for reasons to put on this armor. Why is it necessary? Why do you need the armor of God in your Christian life? Firstly, we need this armor because we can never do without protection, no matter how strong we feel, no matter what a giant you feel you are in your own Christian stand. You need the armor of God. And I want to give you two examples. Firstly, David. Now, David against Goliath triumphed, but later in life he fell. And when he was a man, a muscular man, a much older and experienced soldier, and while he conquered again and again on the battlefield, he fell at home. He fell at home. He allowed sin into his life, and the devil tempted him very subtly. You find the same thing about Samson. Samson was a mighty man when he had a jawbone of a donkey in his hand. He could slay 1,000 Philistines. He could handle a lion. He left him there as a carcass for the bees to make their honey. And then came along one Delilah, and we find that Samson fell. And we're warned in the Bible, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Now, that warning is right beside the text that we looked at already this morning in 1 Corinthians 10. And I want to take you back there just to have a look at the surrounding context of that statement. Take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so we have these warnings, and you'll notice, go back there, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 areas where men fell into various forms of temptation. And these things are written for our learning. They are in samples to us, that we might be warned, indeed that we might put on the whole armor of God. Indeed, the mark of true spirituality is that we feel all the greater need of this armor. It's not spirituality to say, well, I'll do this in the flesh. I will do this in my own strength. I will do this my way. That's not spirituality. Spirituality is to recognize that you're vulnerable, that you are fighting an enemy that you cannot handle, and that you need to be protected by the armor of God. And this brings us from working in the flesh, in our own strength. And if you're going to be strong in the Lord, we need to get beyond mere human strength. And if you're going to be victorious for God, you need to fight with this battle on, this armor on. Now in verse 12, we're given another reason here. And you look at this verse 12 back in Ephesians 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against things of our own strength, but against principalities and powers. And you'll notice the word for, a reason to put on the whole armor of God, to stand against the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so we face a spiritual enemy, an enemy that is mighty, and we need to put on the whole armor of God. All right, let's move on to the second reason. If you're taking notes here today, here's the second heading. We need this armor because in this life, we are never beyond the reach of the enemy in this life. No matter how many years you're a Christian, no matter what walk you have walked, no matter how many battles you've won, you are never beyond the reach of the enemy. And school days, of course, are days of great temptation and evil. This applies to the young. And we'll look at this three ways. The lambs and the flock. We will look at this as the mature sheep. And then also in retirement. And you're never beyond temptation. And when you're a teenager at school, when you are launching out into the new avenues of life, these are days of great temptation. These are times when the devil is just waiting for that opportunity to use the decisions you make and the people that you mingle with, the friends that you make, and the career that you choose. And Satan is just waiting to take you in the wrong direction that he may bring you down. And years of youth are years of great temptation and great opportunity for the wicked one to do his evil work within your life. Maybe you've already discovered that. I'm not telling you something that's new, but there is an answer here. There's a way to overcome. Put on the whole armor of God. And if you will fight this battle in God's way, in spiritual way, then the Lord will keep you. And he'll carry you through. And he'll give you the victory in your own life. Then what about the mature sheep? What about those in the flock that have been living for God a long while? Well, I use this image of sheep because sheep never become good warriors. Sheep are always a prey, always in danger. And whether it's that newborn lamb, or whether it's the mother sheep, or the father sheep, or the older sheep that has been in the pasture for many years and survived the attacks of the wolf or the enemy, still it's vulnerable. And you and I may be a Christian for many years, and we have walked through many pathways, and the Lord has been gracious and carried us along. But there is no retirement from the fight of faith. There is no point at which you can say, I've arrived. That's it now. I can put down the sword, I can put down the breastplate, I can put down the gospel armor, and I am now a mature Christian, and I don't need the armor of God anymore. There's no point at which that's possible. And when what is a mature Christian? I don't know how to define that. Maybe it's someone who says, well, I now know my Bible, I know all 66 books, and I know how to find them. Is that a mature Christian? Or, well, I have learned to, certain doctrines, and I know the Westminster Confession of Faith, and I've got certain things really patted down now. I know where I'm going as a Christian. I don't need the armor anymore. That's wrong. It's wrong. There's never a time where we can say that we have arrived. And then for those that are later in life in retirement, you are at risk also. Indeed, it is in later years that you need to run all the more earnestly for God, because the time is short and the days are evil. And there are times when you can be very discouraged. Physical weakness, ill health, pain in the body. These are things that can sap your spiritual determination and your ability to fight this battle. And then there is the aptitude to waste time. Well, I'm not employed anymore. I don't have to be anywhere at 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't have to punch in the hours anymore. And so it's easy in older life to let time float by. Opportunities are missed. And Satan loves that undisciplined, unregulated life. And when you are in temptation, it's easy to surrender, easy to give in. But you must remember that you are in a battle. There is no time in your life that you can take this armor off and say, I don't need it anymore. It's constant. We also need this armor of God because our spiritual foe is very strong. He's inferior only to the Trinity. We're fighting a mighty, mighty enemy here. And this armor of God is greatly needed because We're fighting the very wiles of the devil. You'll notice this in the text, put on the whole armor of God, that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles here are his methods. He has a strategy. He has a plot. He has a plan to bring us down. And we're dealing here with the devil himself. The Greek word is diabolos, and he is the enemy of our souls. Now, you take the problems of life, and the world has its way of dealing with them. They reason in worldly wisdom. They tell the one that is given to worry and fretting, well, why worry? Worry doesn't change anything, so why worry? And they come up with 5 rules to keep people from worry. And they end up with the psychology of the world. But do they work? Well, they may work up to a point. We were discussing some of this in our adult Sunday school this morning. The methods and the ways of the worldly wise man, they work to a point. They get people over a hump. They get people notching along, and perhaps they move them forward a little bit. But it doesn't answer the real problem. Now, they don't work when you're told that life is over. Death is coming. And there is a spiritual enemy that we have to face with the armor of God. They don't work whenever Satan fills your heart with guilt and shame. Then you need the armor of God. You need a gospel answer, not just man's human answers. And so there is a way to bring God's power to bear against Satan's power in our lives. And we can do that by putting on the armor of God. It's like soldiers on the ground in real warfare. What do they do when they are faced with an enemy that's formidable and treacherous? Well, they call in their air power. And their job on the ground is to plot the location of the enemy. They bring in the air power and they drop their missiles and their bombs in that very location, and so they get victory over the enemy. Well, that's what we are doing as Christians. We realize that the enemy's against us. We feel his power. We feel his wickedness and his tactics against us. And what do? We put on this whole armor of God. We're calling in the power of God to watch over our lives and to keep us by his power. Now, note the enemy that we're fighting here. If you look at verse 12, you'll notice that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And that word means schemers, planners. They are plotting against powers. And these are superhuman powers in verse 12. And then it mentions against rulers of the darkness of this world. This is demonic activity. Satan claims to be the god of this world. And he has many minions, many servants that follow him and do his bidding. And then it goes on to say, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness, rebellion in high places. And all of this manifests itself in depravity and malice and hatred against the very nature and the truth of God. Now, do you feel fit for this battle? Do you feel that you can handle these things without God's help and God's power in your life? No, don't ever think that you could. We need to put on this armor of God. We would be fools to try and engage this enemy in our own strength without the very protection of the gospel. Now that brings me to the next point. And here is now something that we can get our teeth into. We need this armor because the armor of God is really the application of the gospel. This is not some strange method. We use the very gospel. Now let's look at these 7 pieces of armor. Let's look at each item very, very generally, very quickly. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time in any one of them. But you'll see that these 7 items are really the application of the gospel in your life. And the first one is to have your loins girt about with truth. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The athlete took time to roll up his long flowing gowns, and he tucked them under his belt, and he ensured that he was free to run. And your ability to run will be handling the truth. If you're going to make a decision, you need the truth. If you have a career to choose, you need to be building that decision on God's truth. If you're going to take a new direction in your life, it needs to be the direction of truth. Or the devil has you. The devil has got you once you come off the foundation of truth. Then there is the breastplate of righteousness. And again, that's what protects the heart, the internal organs. That's the very life of the Christian. And what is it that guards the heart? Righteousness. This is the gospel. The gospel of a God-provided righteousness that Christ has earned and gives to you, so that when you feel unworthy, when you feel depressed, when you feel discouraged, when you feel that God doesn't love you, when you feel defeated, put on this breastplate of righteousness and protects the heart, protects the very seat of your desires, and you will be given grace to serve the Lord. Then there's the gospel of peace, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If you're a soldier, you need good boots. In Roman times, they had sandals that were very uniquely strapped, and at least the soles of the Roman soldier was well protected against thorns and jagged instruments. Now today's soldier, he really's got good boots, and he can walk on fire, he can walk on shrapnel, and he's still kept. Now, what is this? The Christian's walk. The gospel of peace. And how you need that in your heart. And there's one thing that will give the devil the opportunity to bring you down is disturb your peace. It's like driving a thorn into your feet. It's like an irritant in your life. And if you haven't got this peace, you will be defeated. The shield of faith. There is verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, these darts of the wicked are thoughts that come into your mind. The devil wants to play with your mind. And the Bible teaches us that by some means, Satan has access to the minds of God's people. He can put thoughts into your mind that are totally wicked, rebellious, to destroy you. And if you open your mind to the wicked thoughts of Satan, he's got the advantage. He can use those darts, those fiery darts. Now, the Roman soldier, what he was fighting against was the enemy, shooting these arrows that were, the tips of the arrow were burning. Hot coal that was tied to them, or tar that caused fire to come with them. And when they hit a soldier, if he didn't have his helmet on, well, he was in great danger. And if you're not putting on the helmet of salvation, if you're not guarding your mind, you're going to fall. You're going to trip up. You're going to end in disaster. Satan will get you. Then there are the two other weapons, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible. And then the seventh one is the weapon of all prayer. And every one of these things have to be in place. Now, I have to be faithful here and say that these things only apply to the Christian. They only apply to the Christian. The Christian has to put these on. You can put them on. Because you have accepted Christ as your Savior, these things are yours. You can enjoy their protection each and every day. Now, these are all gospel items that flow to us from the cross of Calvary. And living in the power of the cross, we will know the blessedness and the power of these things. Now, the last point I want to make here, and it comes up in verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. I remember seeing a picture of a soldier, and he was rather ragged and tattered looking. It was obvious that he'd come through battle, and his uniform was in bad shape, but he still had his helmet on, and it seemed it came through untouched, unmarked. But the soldier needs every piece of armor in place. If you have one piece missing, then you're vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. And we're not to be standing as Christians with just one doctrine, one little issue. I'm always concerned about one-issued Christians. And they've got a pet subject, and they really fight that one to death, and they let everything else go. Just one item. And you might be contending for a particular thing, but a balanced Christian will put on the whole armor of God. And Paul exhorts us to put on the whole panoply of the armor of God. We're to have the Bible in our hearts and minds. We're to have prayer in its right place in our own personal devotions and in the life of the church. If you're not a praying Christian, but just really eager about doctrine, you're still unguarded. If you have a helmet on, but you don't have the boots on to protect your feet, the devil can still get you. And that's why Paul says he put on the whole armor of God. You have to be this balanced, rounded Christian to be guarded and protected against all the assaults of the enemy. In your own life, you need to know God. You need to know the gospel. You need to know your Bible. You need to know Christians that will hold you up and pray for you. You need to be regular in a church where you are in fellowship and being fed. You need to be using the knowledge and the gifts that you have and exercising them in your daily walk and daily work. All of these things work together to protect, to maintain the life and testimony of the Christian. Paul would have very little time for those who are gung-ho on one thing, but they can't think of another. That has often been the downfall of many of God's people. Now, a closing thought, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day. Now, that, you would think immediately, is going to be the judgment day. That's going to be the day when you stand before Christ and give answer at the great white judgment throne. Not just that. But there are evil days in the Christian's life. You see, perhaps for you right now, life's easy. There's no real struggle. There's no attack. And you're enjoying certain liberties and freedoms and happinesses in your life. But that's not the life story of a Christian. The life story of a Christian is that testing comes. Trials come. Bereavement comes. Sickness enters the home. We stare death in the face. And there are those times when we have to question, what is God doing? We have to trust Him. And in those times, the evil day, Satan seeks a way in. And if you haven't been regularly putting on the armor of God in the good days, if I may put them that way, in those days of peace and days of grace and days of liberty and days of opportunity, if you haven't been putting on the armor of God in those days, then when the evil day comes, you won't be protected. You won't have the armor of God on. You won't have those things in place. And Satan will crush you. And he will have every advantage to bring you down. Now, preparation against Satan is your life's work. Because he is our foe all our days. There's never a day in this world that we can be say that we're free from Satan's attack. You need to be a full-time Christian soldier. Full-time. You can't put the armor off, take it on, put it off, take it on, put it off. You have to be a Christian soldier. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays too. There is no holiday, no vacation from being a Christian soldier. You also need to be an expert in spiritual weaponry. If you're going to be a constant full-time soldier, you need to know your weapons. Be a very poor soldier if he had all this firepower around him but didn't know how to use it. He wouldn't be equipped for the evil day. And so when testing comes, you need to know how to handle this Bible. You need to know, well, I've learned in the Bible that God, he brought Job through a certain trial. He brought Peter through a certain trial. He brought Jacob through trials. I can learn how God dealt with him and what the result was and how they trusted God. Now I'm in that situation. Now I'm in that very pressure of trouble. I can learn how to trust God in the evil day. We do likewise with the shield of faith. And your faith needs to be strong. Your faith needs to be built up so that when those trials come, you will have strength in the Lord to withstand that very weapon. And then number seven, prayer. Prayer is never easy to the Christian. It is something that is born in the soul by the new birth experience and by the Holy Spirit living within us. We are born to pray. But as in sanctification, it's something we need to learn by practice, by constant communion and fellowship with God, by entering into the praying of God's people. We learn from them, we're strengthened by them. And in our homes, they should be times of prayer, there should be the place of prayer, so that when the battle is on and the enemy is raging, prayer is not some strange, distant, unknown thing in your life. And then you phone up others and say, pray for me, I'm in trouble. That's not wrong. The most prayerful Christian would do that. The one who is the mightiest man or woman of prayer will do that. But how often it is that people, only when they're in trouble, that they seek for the prayers of others. And so I want you to take to heart this command. It is a command. It's not an option for you. Put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. Do it today. Begin today. Don't say, well, I know God is, let me study it. No, put it on. Don't admire it. Put it on. Put it into practice in your life. And then you will be able to stand against the methods, wiles, and tactics of the devil. May the Lord help you. And may the Lord give great grace to everyone who are in this battle for the gospel and for truth.